morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Blunt Springs. So glad you're here to worship with us. Hope that you'll all lift your voices and praise our Savior this morning. Amen.
Would you be free from your burden? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Lord, you are evil, a victory win.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
What a fellowship.
could see a million souls alive and barely scratch the surface of your world. It's all by light,
the banner I'll be waving.
My anthem cry,
no matter what may come.
And when I'll rise to walk the streets of heaven,
I'll still be singing this song.
Sing that chorus again.
We're singing, oh, how great
is the love of God. He paid our debt on that rugged cross. For all our days, we will sing our Savior's praise.
How great is the love.
All the glory this morning.
Thank you, worship team. Happy Sunday to you all. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, as we read earlier. One night when I was a little boy, we lived in a ranch-style home, which means it's longer than it is wide. And one night when I was a little boy, I was awakened very quickly to the covers being ripped off to me, and my mother put both her arms up under me, and she ripped me out of the bed and went running with me down to the other end of the house. And I was just thinking, what in the world is going on? We got down to the end of the house, and my dad's standing at the door with a pistol, and she takes and lays me in her inner bed, and then she starts looking out the window, and right out the outside we had a dusk to dawn light, and it casted, there was a shadow from the house that ran all the way down the yard, and just inside of that light stood a man just staring at our house. That event messed me up. That event led me to worry for many years after that. I did not want to be apart from mom and dad. I did not want to sleep in the other end of the house. It just caused me to worry a whole lot. The truth is, we all know what worry feels like. It clogs our minds, it ties knots in our stomachs, and it keeps us from enjoying the blessings that God has given and placed right in front of us. By show of hands, who in here today would love to start living each day with a clear mind free of worry? Amen. Amen. I put two up. That's me. Jesus today doesn't just tell us not to worry. He shows us how senseless it is. And he provides a solution to fix our habit of worrying. I've titled today's message, "The One Priority That Ends a Thousand Worries." If we are to achieve the daily peace Jesus offers, then we must realize that worry does not extend our life. Look at verse 25. We're going to read through 27. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? So what is worry? I brought two definitions. So biblically, there's two words that are always associated with worry. Number one is concern. I think that's going to be a deep concern. And also anxiety. So that's how the Bible, those are two words that associate in the Bible with worry, concern, and anxiety. Mr. Google, he knows everything, right? Mr. Google said that worry is a chain of persistent negative thoughts and mental images concerning an uncertain future outcome. That's a lot of words, but I thought it was pretty good. Did you know that Jesus was not a fan nor a promoter of worry? He wasn't. Here's an example of worry and how Jesus advised against it. It's one of my favorite pictures of Jesus in the Bible. Luke 10, 38 through 42. We'll put it up on the screen. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his every word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha's distraction, Martha's worry, divided her attention. Mary was focused on her worship. It was undivided. And so Jesus is calling her like, your worry is dividing your attention, and that's the problem here. And isn't that what worry does for us? Doesn't it divide our attention? Plain and simple, Jesus commands us, do not be worried. We're not to worry about life or body. We're not to worry about food, drink, or clothing. Is he speaking to anybody in here yet? Did he get in some of your areas that you worry about? He got in some of mine. Jesus is not saying that food, drink, and clothing don't matter. That's not the point of his teaching. They do. But he is saying that life, the life that he has given a believer, is much more than the stuff that we reduce it to. Life is much more than food. Life is much more than drink. Life is much more than the clothes that we wear. Life is about trusting in our Heavenly Father. Jesus gives us a relatable example of success. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, they neither reap, they neither gather into storehouses. And guess, this was on my mind this morning. And guess what I saw all the way to church? Birds. Guess what they were doing? They were out and about their business. I saw, I think, 6 crows this morning specifically. As soon as I turned down on Valley, there was 2 crows sitting at the corner of the road, and they were both fighting over whatever it was that they were fixing to eat. They were out because why? God was taking care of them. God called them to live that way. They were out. They weren't worried about it. I didn't see them discussing, are we going to do the 10 by 30 barn? I mean, I'm thinking 10 by 30. Are you 20 by 60? I'm not real sure. No, they were thinking, let's eat. I'm hungry. And they were out doing those things. And Jesus comforts us. He says, if God cares enough to feed them, how much more does he care about you? He's taking care of the crows this morning, I promise. I saw it with my own eyes. And then comes the knockout punch in verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? Worry doesn't add. Do you know what worry does? It does a math function, but it's not addition. Do you know which one it is? Subtraction. That's what worry does. It subtracts from our lives. It does not add anything to it. During my summer times, one of my favorite memories, and I talk about this a lot, and I hope that y'all will continue to let me talk about it because it makes me happy. I used to spend a lot of time at my great-grandfather's house, and he had this awesome big shaded porch on the front. He had two chairs that were always side by side out there. They were both metal. They were both green in color. And the one that he always sat in was not a rocker. It was a metal chair, but it didn't rock. You know, it just sat, but it had the legs that kind of did like that, you know, the metal tubular legs. Well, the one that I always sat in was the rocking chair, and it was also green. And, you know, I guess he gave me that one because I had that nervous kid energy that needed to be used at every turn. But I would sit there beside him, and I would rock. I'm talking about back and forth, just boom. And he would tell me stories, and we would talk about life, and he would teach me things, and I would just be over there just rocking, you know, like the little boy that I was, full of energy. Guess how far I rocked during all those days on that front porch? Guess the distance that I made it. It would still be sitting in the same spot that the first time I ever rocked in it if nobody had ever moved it. And that's what we do. That's what we do when we worry. We sit down in a rocking chair and we frantically go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and we put all that energy into it. And then when we stand up, you're still standing in the same spot that you were when you sat down. It don't make a lot of sense. A rocking chair will never move us forward, and neither will worry. We'll be in the same spot. Let's get practical for a moment and think. I want you to think about your top three worries. I don't know what they are this morning. I'm thankful maybe that I don't know what all of your worries are, but usually we all have this hierarchy of worry. You think about yours. I'm going to give you three examples. Some of these may be on your list, they may not be. I just try to be real general. But here's three things that sometimes we often worry about. What about your health and your body? Does that ever concern anybody? It concerns me. I think about my health. I think about my body. It's something that's on my mind. When you worry about your health, does it actually heal you? If you had a cold right now and you sat there and just worried yourself to death over it, are you going to be cured? What about the chicken pox, shingles? You name it. Your worry will not heal you. We cannot add a single hour to our life, but you know what it can do? It can multiply your stress. It can take away your ability to go to sleep. You see, it can only add bad things. Can't add any good. Second thing, what about your future? Anybody worry about the future? When you worry about what might happen to you tomorrow, has it ever changed anything? Just simply worrying alone, keeping it right here, has it changed anything? Mm-mm. But has it robbed you of your joy and your peace? Likely. What about safety, world events? When we worry about the news, when we worry about the economy or the state of the world, does that worry ever lead you to a pasture filled with peace? Mm-mm. Probably not. But does it lead you to a place that breeds further fear about what might happen? Probably. Worry fails every single time. Amen? Worry does not extend our life. If we're going to achieve the daily peace Jesus offers, then we must realize that worry does not strengthen our faith. Verses 28 through 32. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Homecoming week is coming up. Let me tell you something about homecoming week in 1999. Let me tell you about that. Things has changed in homecoming. In 1999, on that October night or whatever it was after the football game, do you know what I wore to homecoming? What I wore to school that day. Because that was wadded up in my locker, in my football locker, I, as a stinky, nasty football player, literally, I know this is kind of gross, I took off my pads and all the things, and I put on those same clothes, and I went to the gym, and we had a homecoming. Do you know what it was? It was fun. We had a good time. I still remember it. Now homecoming is different. Now we worry and stress and worry and stress about all these clothes and all these things that we're going to wear. I don't think they have any more fun than we did. I'm going to be honest with you. I think they have less fun because they're worried about it. We never even thought about it. We just went to have a good time. Jesus is going to reason why we shouldn't worry about our clothes. He says flowers don't strategize, flowers don't stress, flowers don't sow, but God himself clothes them with beauty. Beauty that's greater than Solomon's beauty, and they said he was real pretty. Grass is temporary. It's here today, burn tomorrow, and hopefully quit growing too. That was added by me. And yet, God still gives it splendor. You think about how beautiful a wheat field is when it's ripe for harvest. And God takes time to make sure that that wheat is beautiful and that field is beautiful. And the next day it's just cut down, put in a thing, and burn up and made bread. But yet he still took time, even though it wasn't going to last very long, to make it beautiful. If God shows that kind of care to grass and lilies, how much more will he care for you and I? Jesus is teaching that worry not only fails, it exposes little faith. And this is where it gets kind of tough, because I worry. I'm guilty. It's not that our needs don't matter. It's that our worry shows that we don't trust God, who already knows what all of our worries are. So he wants us just to hand him our worries and walk away. He doesn't want us to hand him our worries with a chain linked to them so that we can hold on to the chain and be like, God, just in case you can't handle those worries, I'm going to hold on to this chain and I'm going to walk right here with you. I still got them too, just in case you need them. That's little to no faith. We just got to give them to him and walk away from it. Jesus gets even more real with his disdain for our worrying. He says, Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. We've talked about this many times. Did Jews love Gentiles? No. They did not. They didn't want to be around them. They didn't want anything to do with them. And why? There's some reasons behind that, not just because they had the name Gentile. One is because they didn't believe in God. They had no worship. They did not worship God whatsoever. And the other thing is they were very materialistic, and they cared so much about this world that they cared nothing about God. So those are the two things. And Jesus is saying right here, you worrying all the time about things that I know about and things that I'm taking care of makes you just like a Gentile, somebody who doesn't believe and only cares about the things of the world. He wasn't complimenting us in this moment. Jesus is saying, when you live in worry, you look more like an unbeliever than a child of God. Is this the image we want to portray as believers? Mm-mm. I was living like a Gentile in the worrying realm. In April of 2020, y'all remember April of 2020? It's a pretty horrible time. I don't like to really talk about it, but this was just a really good example. When April 2020 came and this world shut down like a car that just pulled up the emergency brake, I was worried about three things immediately. The first thing that I was worried about is that I was going to lose my job, because I thought, man, they've been shut the whole thing down for 2 weeks. If people aren't buying anything, then we're not going to have jobs. I'm not going to have a job. The second thing I worried about is that I would lose my house, because naturally that's how my thinking goes. If I don't have a way to pay my mortgage, well, they're not going to let me keep living here. So if I lose my job, I'm going to lose my house. And then the third thing is I was worried about the food. I'm going to be honest with you. I was thinking about, man, how if they won't let anybody drive on the road, man, we only have so much food in the freezer, and if I can't pay the power bill, that's going to go off too, and we're going to have a big cooking to cook all this stuff in the freezer, but then we ain't going to have nowhere to put it. You see where my, I don't know, did anybody else go down this road? I did. I was thinking about things. You know, I thought about it so much that I started getting upset when I saw squirrels run over in smoke rise. Y'all laughing. I wasn't laughing. I was like, y'all need to dodge them things. We may be getting hungry. And I will eat a tree rat if I get hungry enough. I fully experienced the negative side effects of worry. I'm telling you about them. But you know what I never did experience? Losing my job. Losing my house. Or ever being hungry. Y'all quit looking at me. I see what y'all doing out there. To this day, I have still not had to eat any of the squirrels in smoke rise. And I say that with confidence. You laughing, but I'm serious. If you're here today and you're truly hungry, you're truly thirsty and in need of clothing, I'm not dismissing your need. This is, and Jesus is not dismissing your need either. If you're truly hungry this morning because you don't have nothing to eat or thirsty, or you're wearing clothes for the 10th time in a row because that's the only pair you've got, we're not being insensitive to that. Jesus is not saying don't worry, just ignore it. Sometimes God's provision shows up in the daily bread that we're supposed to pay for, but sometimes God's provision shows up through the hands and the feet of those who believe in Him, and He calls us to go and be those things. James gives us a very sharp rebuke and warning. James 2, 15 through 16 says, if a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? God uses us to meet the needs of these people that He knows about. Amen? And so we're not to turn a blind eye to those people. We're to be His hands and feet in those situations. And ultimately know that God's provision will be complete one day. We're always going to want here in this world. It's never going to be perfect. God promised that. We messed that up. It's been messed up ever since. It's not really getting any better. Most people argue that it's worse. But guess what? These words of Jesus will come true ultimately one day and will never return. We look to Revelation 7:16. They will know, they will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. One day we will not have to worry about any of these things. And so that's for anybody who may be hungry this morning or somebody that may be filled. Just know that one day the believers, those who have made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, will never hunger or thirst again ever, ever, forever in eternity. Some things we can do. Do not let your need drive you to despair. Let it drive you to deeper dependence on the Father. Don't let worry push you into isolation. That's a tactic of the enemy. Let it push you into the arms of the Father and into the fellowship of fellow believers. Don't get isolated. And when a lack tempts you to worry, speak this truth out loud. My Father already knows what I need. Our Heavenly Father provides for true needs every single time, and worry does not strengthen our faith. Let's get to the practical part. If we're to achieve the daily peace Jesus offers, then we must seek God's kingdom first in every single decision. Seek God's kingdom first in every decision. Verses 33 and 34 say, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What is the antidote to worry? Jesus doesn't just say stop worrying. That's not the antidote. He gives us something to replace worry with. The cure for worry is priority, seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness first. That's the cure. You see, worry may fill your life right now, like if this was a bubble, if this was a ball and it was filled with worry, when you infuse that and you make God first and you put Him that as a priority and you begin to fill that up, guess what the worry has to do? It has to go out. It has to escape, because you making God a priority in your life is filling what used to be worry. To seek His kingdom first means His rule, His reign, and they have priority in your decisions. It will look like this. God's plan or God's will be greater than our anxieties. God's calling on your life will be greater than your comfort. And God's commands will be greater than any fear that you may have in the world. To seek His righteousness means aligning your life with His standard. Not living by the example of the world, but by living by the example of Jesus Christ's righteousness. Letting Him be your example. Not settling for being better than most or better than him, or will I do better than Philip? But living in a way that reflects Jesus Christ perfectly. I took an overnight trip to Mississippi on Friday, and it was just overnight. And I don't like to pack, so I kind of have an advantage here. But I needed just one change of clothes and the things to get through the day. The only piece of luggage I have is kind of big. It's probably this tall. Rollers, thin. It's really nice, but it's big. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to lug that around. So I had the great thought. Those Kroger bags are kind of thick. You know what I'm talking about? The blue ones, the blue plastic ones? And I thought, you know what? That's what I need. So I went, I knew we had some under the sink, so I go in there and I get one out, go back to the bedroom, and I set that blue Kroger sack down. And now I've got to think a minute. I'm like, okay, this is limited, so I'm going to have to prioritize what in the world I'm going to put in this bag. I'm not going to tell you all the things that I put in the bag. I'm going to bore you with all that. But so I started with the largest items, and I worked them down to the smallest, and lo and behold, I could take those two sides, and I could put them together and tie a knot, and I had everything that I needed for my trip in this bag, and I didn't have to carry around another bunch of garbage. If your life were a blue Kroger bag, you could only carry so many things in it. Is the pursuit of God, His kingdom, and His righteousness in your blue Kroger bag? Or have you filled that blue Kroger bag with a bunch of garbage that you don't need? Or do you have so many garbage that you would never even think about going and getting that blue Kroger bag? Are you weighed down with huge bags of luggage because you're packing tons of needless worry? God doesn't want you to do that. I would argue that God would like us to live a life that we could put inside the blue Kroger bag and be mobile. And carry it around and not worry about it. Life works the same way. You can't pack everything in. Something has to go first. And Jesus says that the first thing that goes in that bag must be the kingdom of God. Let's get specific for just a minute. Finances. If money comes first, anxiety will never end. If God comes first, He promises to supply every need. Family. If academics, status, or sports come first, our children will never learn to put God first. Work, employment. If our career comes first, integrity and spiritual gifts and priorities will suffer. Approval. If we really care about everybody's opinion and what they think about us, we'll always be enslaved to their demands and what they tell us we need to do for them to approve of us. What about the future? If fear of tomorrow comes first, our faith for today will wither. What's one thing you've been putting first that you need to move down the list? Because God says, seek first. Verse 34 closes it out. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Who can amen that one time? Does each day have enough trouble of its own? Tomorrow has its own set of problems. We don't need to import them into today's problems. And here's a cool thought. God has given us enough grace for today. Right? So what if that lack that you're feeling is because you're trying to use the grace that was given for you today for issues that are not today, not tomorrow? But if you left those out, and you let tomorrow be tomorrow, and you live for today, what if you found that there is enough grace for me to get through all these things? Instead of worry, trust. Remember what Jesus said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." So peace comes to us when God is first. And we should seek God's kingdom first in every decision. Jesus has given us the way to live today with trust, not terror. Who likes to live in terror? Anybody? I don't care for it. No thanks. Birds fly, birds search, and birds gather, but they do not plant fields or build barns. I've never seen them do it. They use what God has given without anxiety for tomorrow. Lilies grow and bloom, but without scheming, without striving, without scouring the internet. Their beauty is God's doing. Believers are called to act, which means to work, to use the gifts, to use the talents that He's given us. But not to worry. Why? Because our Father wants to provide for us. Worry shrinks when we engage in faithful obedience instead of idle fretting. I think here's the big so what for me. Don't sit paralyzed in fear and worry and anxiety. Use what God has given you and trust Him with the outcome. Trust that He's going to provide. Get up, take flight, and do what God has called and fashioned you to do. Without, in the example of the bird, without letting worry clip your wings so that you can't fly and do and go and be who God has called you to be. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. Worry promises control, but it only delivers chaos. Worry promises peace, but it only brings more pressure. Worry promises solutions, but it never solves anything. But Jesus offers something better. Jesus offers peace. A peace that comes not from trying to control tomorrow, but from trusting God the Father for today. The one priority that ends a thousand worries? Seek first His kingdom and trust your Father will take care of the rest. How do we respond to this today? I think we can respond in a couple of ways. So first of all, you may be filled with worry because you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have God. You don't pray. You don't have a connection with God at all. And that may be why your life is completely filled with worry and turmoil. And I get that. If I didn't have Jesus, I don't know what I would do. And I'm being honest. I'm not being preachy right now. I'm being serious. I mean, when I turn something over to him and I let it go, I let it go. And he takes it from me. And I love experiencing that. But if you don't have a relationship with him this morning, you don't know what that feels like. And it feels awesome. And so today, if you're in here and you've never prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, the Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sins, today's a good day for that. But maybe you are a believer, and like me, I've confessed this to you this morning. Maybe you're a believer this morning, and you're in the cycle of worry. You have tried to, you've taken everything from God, and you're just trying to bear it on your shoulders. Today may be a good day to lay it down and experience the peace that God has intended for us. I want to encourage you to do that through prayer. Just cry out to God. Just confess that sin of trying to bear this whole thing on your own and say, Jesus, this morning I give it to you. And you know what you asked? You said you provide for me, and I'm going to trust that. And just give it to him and walk out of here experiencing the day like he gave to you with the grace that he made sufficient. Whatever your need may be, the altar's open. We're going to have a time of singing. If you would, please stand. If there's anything that I can help you with, I'll be right down front.